Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armalee.
Have you ever found a topic or anything where that you start to dive into it and it's like the tip of the iceberg and you think that's it and then underneath there's this massive, well, that's wisdom. Wisdom is such a big topic. The more I study it, the more I get excited about it. So we're going to continue talking about wisdom. Everybody remembers I was talking about wisdom, right? Can tell me what book I was preaching out of 2 weeks ago? Yeah, that's an easy one because you can say Proverbs. Wisdom's in I taught out of another book, though. James, who said it? Ding, 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 you get points. Woohoo. That's awesome. Talked out of James. We're not going to start there, though. I'm convinced more than ever before that to get out of the world situations that we're in, we're going to have to think differently. How many know that you can't think the same way to get out of a problem that you've thought your way into? You have to have a different strategy to get out. And I'm excited. I'm super convinced of the power of, obviously, Father God, Son, and Holy Spirit, the power of wisdom, the power that can come over us and what can happen. Really super excited about that. I want to read to you, I might be everywhere today, so bear with me. You may have to listen to it again to make sense of this. But I want to read two powerful prophetic words as I was going through our words again over myself and over the church. Because when you get words a lot of times over yourself, they're for the church. I was looking for one thing, but came across something twice. And I thought, this is a word that we need right now. How many are excited about that? How many want a good word? All right, here's a good word. Brian Schwartz, I believe this was 2017, April, he said, what's going to mark this house, and by the way, listen to the similarity in these words, two people that don't even know each other. He said, what's going to mark this house is actually not going to just be great exploits. It's going to be unity that comes upon a people, a unity that God restores in such a mighty way. In a season where there is less unity than we've ever seen in our lifetime, I think, personally, across the world, I think that's a powerful word for us to grab a hold of. And then Jordan from Bethel, we were in a room before the conference last year started, or two marches ago. He said this, he said, I saw the word revival over you guys, not just a revival of signs and wonders and miracles, but a family. I see a family revival where actually this revival is birthed out of family and out of connection and out of unity. And I feel like you guys are going to see the greatest sense of unity in this area that you've seen in a while. Can you hear the similarities in both those words? So I thought in an hour where it seems like it's hard to have unity, well, why not go for this? Come on, right? It's the promise of the Lord. I don't feel like we've hit that season yet. I think there's always more. And I'm like, Lord, why not now? You know, Sean started with that. All things are possible. We sang about it in a song. Anything is possible. So we could go after the greatest sense of unity ever before. It's exciting. Let me give you some scriptures here. Because the Bible talks about us being in unity. It's probably a good thing, right? John 17, 21 to 23. You can write these down. I'm going to read them. That they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that we may be made perfect in one. That the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. It's really interesting how often it goes back to, I want you to be one and the world will be changed because of seeing you guys in unity. Have we seen that yet to the fullest throughout the earth? Could the church come to a whole nother level of unity? Absolutely. Absolutely. That doesn't matter if it's a denomination within unity or just the unity of the body of Christ, we want to see unity come. Amen? Ephesians 4, 12 to 13 says this. It says, for the equipping of the saints, this is why he gave the fivefold ministry, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That man, that's why we're here as Fivefold Ministry, to help bring us to that level of unity. Then literally he says that we become a perfect man. Well, I am thankful that we have lots of room for improvement. Turn to your neighbor and say, that is something we can improve on. So here's the question. We could try to have unity based on, if you remember in James, earthly wisdom, or we could find a place of unity in heavenly wisdom. And I would argue or propose to you that much of the world has found unity not in heavenly wisdom, but we have found unity often in just earthly things. And often what happens, though, is if you find it with earthly, and if you remember out of James, it talked about that was, it could be demonic, it could be sensual, it can be fleshly. We looked at a scripture that says, you know, where there's quarrels among you, are you not walking in earthly wisdom? Are you not walking as mere men, it actually said? Meaning that that's not who you are. Why are you guys walking like that? So in order for us to have this type of unity, we're going to have to pursue something that is not of earth, it's of heaven. Because a lot of times what unity is based around is common things. Like I know right now, Joy and Rod can have a form of unity over fishing. They love to fish. Now, have you ever caught, just want to ask, a 25-pound fish? You've never? Yeah, who said? Yeah, you're in church. A 36-inch, but you're talking about 25 pounds. Wow, she's leading you in the fish department. How many could gather around fishing? Raise your hand really tall if you could gather around fishing. How many would have nothing to do with fishing? Like, that's the least thing. All right. Yeah, easy. We're going to talk about heavenly rest, peace. How many could gather around pets? My hand's down. Look at all these pet lovers. Who could gather around dogs? You're crazy. Crazy. Who could gather, like, not dog, cats. It's all about cats. Anybody? Oh, we got some hands out. It's all about cats. I like cats. I'm not sure I want one, but I... what else can we gather around? Golf. Can we gather around golf? We got some hands there in the back, some people. Oh, look at it. We got golfing partners going around here. Put your hand up, golfing partners. Now, you could gather around golf until, or fishing, until somebody else catches that 25-pounder, and then maybe you don't want to go out with them anymore because they're catching bigger fish than you are. The reality is a lot of, did you know that denominations are gathered around a belief in something? And sometimes it could be a kingdom belief, but sometimes it may not be a kingdom belief. But we gather around something that we all agree on, and if you can't agree on it, then often you go to some other church, some other denomination. But if we keep operating like that, these words, not saying us, but the body of Christ, these words will never come to pass. Because God wants us to find a unity that is not just based on common likes and desires. It's easy to love people that we have things in common with. Rod and I have common things about building and church things, obviously, because we work together, a lot of different things, but there's a lot of things that he likes that I don't like. But our common denominator is Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay, I want you to look at a scripture. We are just in Ephesians, so stay there. Turn to Ephesians 2, verse 2. Interesting scripture. For sake of time, I got a lot of scripture, so I'm not going to turn to all of them. Ephesians 2, verse 2. Every once in a while, you got to smile at me just to let me know you like me and you're okay. Or fake it that you like me. So, going for unity here. Heavenly unity. Fake it. Ephesians 2, verse 2 says this. It says... Ephesians 1 talks about being slaves coming out of that. And then Ephesians 2 says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. But look at this. This is really important right now. According to the prince of the power of the what? Air. We were watching something the other day together as it was sent to us. And I thought, that line popped out. And I thought, there's a key right now. We got to get. according to the prince of the power of the air. Did you know that God right now is not necessarily in control of the airwaves? There's another prince that is. Do you know this? That's Ephesians. So I want you to think right now with what's going on, and it continually amps up. I heard somebody recently, it doesn't matter who it was. Heard somebody recently, he was talking about how, and I said this a couple weeks back, that people right now don't even know what to put on social media because you're afraid that whatever you say, somebody's going to jump down your throat. So he went on vacation. He simply didn't post for 3 days. And he said, I couldn't believe how many people gave me hate mail for not posting. He says, I didn't either and still didn't win. So he deleted his account. And this is actually quite a well-known person that had a lot of followers. Right now, we have to understand that the prince, the power of the air is a prince, and his name is Satan. And a lot of times, have you ever had it where you've had a conversation with someone, and you're sharing, and then when you actually find out what they heard, it's not what you said? Raise your hand if you've ever had that experience. And you're dumbfounded, you're like, that's not what I said. We as pastors often will preach something, and people will come after, and they'll go, oh my gosh, that was so amazing when you preached on this. We're like, I didn't even say that. But sometimes we hear something gets triggered and we go into la-la land and we start thinking of things and we're into our own little message in our head thinking that this person's preaching it, but we're not. That's a little different example. But right now I'm finding that people are trying to say things and it gets thrown into the air or the atmosphere or social media world and everything gets twisted and everybody's fighting. Okay? Because it's the power of the prince of the air. You guys following me? But anyway, shake your head every once in a while, smile at me. Okay, so my point is this right now. I'm going to keep going back to it. If we want to see a different atmosphere upon the earth, why? Because Jesus said, pray to the Father, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. But a lot of times we try to have church and the Christian realm, and we use the tactics of the world to try to produce a heavenly unity. Yeah. It will never, ever work. Because you need a heavenly tactic to have a heavenly unity. But we keep hoping that something will change. But right now, Romans 12:2 is what we have to go after. Lord, transform our minds. And I'm going to keep going back to culture and wisdom. Culture and wisdom. I've described culture many times. Did you know that you are biased because of the culture that you grew up in? You can't avoid it. It's impossible. Some of you have favorite foods. Who has a favorite food based on your culture? Yell it out for me. What is the favorite food? What is the, tell me this. Yell out the culture and tell me the food. Polish pierogies. Dutch croquettes. Dutch croquettes. Sure. Yeah, thanks. I'm just going to let you, Maltese, whatever the other, I wouldn't mind trying it, but I have no idea what you said. All right. Laksa. Singaporean Chinese. All right, laksa. These are interesting dish names. Anybody else? Any French people here that have a French dish? Is poutine really French? Oh, cool. You know it's Canadian. Uh-huh. What is that? Sea pie in English. Sea pie? Okay, cool. See, all these things. We could go into cultures, you know, and how many love to experience different cultures? Like, that's just something you love. Oh, that's awesome. How many are like, no, just give me my Canadian culture and I'm happy? Anybody? Yeah, we could have a, was that Dana? She's like, just give me Canadian. I can navigate Canadian food. French fries. I'm not sure that's actually Canadian, but okay. So we have culture based on what we grew up in. We have favorite dishes. Some of you love pets because your parents love pets and their parents love pets. And it's just been a generational thing. It's just part of the culture that you grew up in. Unfortunately, we could be racist based on the culture we grew up in. And we don't even know it until it pops out of us. And we're like, as Christians, how did that get there? And it's horrific to have that in us. But it's because of the culture we grow up in. Now, there are things I want you to understand. There are, you know, when we go after a kingdom culture, there are some things that don't have to leave, right? Aren't you thankful that there's no kingdom culture menu, right? And when you go into the kingdom culture, you can only eat these type of specific foods. I'd be like manna every day. I'm like, oh God, thank God we don't have to eat manna. There are some things that will never change, but there are some things that must change if we go after kingdom culture. They have to. Let's just do a quick review. Turn to James. Those scriptures were so powerful. I feel like they're so powerful a couple weeks ago. So turn to James with me. James 3. Okay, so we're understanding that there are cultures based on countries. There are cultures based on families. There are cultures in workplaces. But when it comes down to it, our behavior must not be connected to these cultures upon the earth. Our behavior must become connected to kingdom culture. Okay, we getting this? You can't have heaven come to earth, and as people, we can't be pursuing heaven to come to earth, but still function out of this. So our goal right now has to be, Lord, would you teach us kingdom culture and heavenly wisdom? Thank you. Would you teach us kingdom culture and heavenly wisdom? Because if we want to have, so, prophetic words are something that we have to actually go after. Right? Shake your neighbor every once in a while that belongs to you. That neighbor. The one that you came with. We're going to read James 3. One of the things that becomes very aware when you start studying wisdom is that wisdom is directly connected to the word understanding. If you look, I'm going to throw out a whole bunch of scriptures in a few minutes. Wisdom and understanding are intimately connected over and over and over again. I feel like I've just scratched the surface of understanding that, like just a little bit. But what I know is that it continually says, seek wisdom, apply your heart to understanding. Seek and apply. Seek and apply. Seek and apply. What does James say? Be doers of the word, not just hearers. I think one of the unfortunate errors of the body of Christ is that we've often done things, we get saved, and then we have to go after pursuing the transformation of our minds. And if we don't do that, we'll be saved, but we'll function in our old man, our flesh. And yet God's like, I want you to function out of this man, your new creation. Like, your new creation's completely new, so we have to learn how to function. All right, James 3. Everybody there? James 3 verse 13 says, my Bible calls it heavenly versus demonic wisdom. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? You're going to see it over and over again. Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. That's why, Joy, I was trying to find out who is going to lie against the truth. If you guys were like pure as pure, you passed the test. Isn't that Dallin, buddy? You passed the test. You're a good man. He is a good man. Growing into a wonderful man. It says, this wisdom does not descend from above, but it is earthly, sensual, or demonic. So the first thing that we're looking at is the fact that there is a wisdom that is set above that we have to go after. Now, there is some good earthly wisdom that we need to have. Now, I'm going to give you two examples in a second. I'll do that right now. Two examples, okay? Earthly wisdom. The other day, I had to buy a new vehicle. Our van went kaput. And, oh, I thought it was time. As a man driving a van, I thought it was time to branch out, to break off the shackles of the van. And I was ready. I had some sound wisdom behind my thoughts. Well, Kristen and I did. I was pursuing them a little stronger than she was. Had this great plan. We went and looked at multiple vehicles. You know, we are using wisdom when it comes to looking at the vehicles. But we're in this very interesting stage. Our kids are still, you know, coming along with us. They're not out of the house. We have about 3-4 years. But I thought, man, I'll just get a bigger SUV then. You know, I'll just get bigger, better, more knobs and bells and whistles. So I called someone, and this person has a lot of wisdom. And as I was sharing about the SUV and everything, you know, he's like, that could work. That could work. Yeah, you know, it's a good plan, blah, blah, blah. And he said, have you ever thought about a van again? I almost said, get behind me, Satan. I definitely thought it. And as he said it, you know, one of those moments, this is just, you know, this is just wisdom, good wisdom. And I thought, oh, when you know it's right, but you don't want to hear it. Oh, that's wisdom. I don't want to hear it. I wrestled with it, finally gave up on wrestling with it. I got on Kijiji, like literally the second ad, maybe even the first ad, was a van that we could buy within our price range. We could pay cash. It's beautiful. The more we got to know about this van, she took pristine condition of it, like beyond anything I would ever do. It was a God thing. But I needed that wisdom. I needed somebody just to speak in. You could call that heavenly wisdom or earthly. It's fine. But now I want to share one that is completely heavenly wisdom. When my kids were growing up, they went through a season where they woke up 2 to 3 times a night, each of them. So 3 kids waking up 2 or 3 times a night with nightmares. That's 6 times a night. That's a lot of waking up. And we're not talking about when they're babies. They were 3, 4, 5. Like it went on for a while. Finally, Pastor Jeff and Johnny came to a Harvest of Glory, and I said, I need help. We are at our wits' end. We're not sleeping. We don't know why. We've prayed through the house. We've done everything we know how to do. So he comes in, Pastor Jeff and Johnny. I don't even think we were there. I think you let him in because we are still cleaning up the Harvest of Glory. And they walked through the house, and I remember him saying, we feel nothing in this house. It's full of peace. There was a bit of confusion going, you know, you kind of expect there to be something and there's an irritation and you're going to cast it out. He's like, it's peaceful. He says, but Pastor Jeff said, I got one word. He said, I don't even understand it. But he said, I get one word and it's astral projection. He says, I don't know what you're going to do with it, but go ahead, look it up. So the earthly wisdom came in and went, doesn't feel like there's, you know, maybe there's not a lot of peace in here, but they found everything to be fine. We needed heavenly wisdom at that moment. Astral projection. So we're like, well, that's great. We have no idea what to do with that. Never even heard of it. We had some situations happening in the church. Found out later on I had somebody praying against us. Interesting enough, astral projection is the ability to pray through stars into places. Interesting. So even, you know, we're praying against it. And then one day we're watching, I'm a sci-fi guy, I love a lot of sci-fi movies, and we're watching at the very beginning, all these words are coming up. And we've never noticed it, but all of a sudden, the word astral projection comes across. It's just like all these words. Because it was like a kind of a fringe movie, thinking about the fringe things of life. And we're like, that's the word. We've never seen that word before. We shut off TV. We repented. I was going to say I'd never watch that show again. But the minute we stopped watching that show, their nightmares stopped. Crazy. That was like heavenly wisdom. We had no idea that we were letting things into our house based on what we were watching. Now, it's funny because I never felt convicted. I needed a higher level of understanding in that moment that came from heaven. I said never because I tried that show again and things stirred back up. We're like, well, that's definitely not worth watching. You know, later on we thought, okay, we've passed that. They're older now. No, it started right back up again. So sometimes it's good to just have wisdom. There's people that have financial wisdom, but I needed wisdom not from this realm. I need wisdom from the heavenly realm. Amen? You guys tracking with me? It says, this wisdom does not descend from above, but it is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. So right now, because there's the prince of the airwaves and people are functioning in earthly wisdom, it's chaos. And the further we get away from any type of standard, which is the word of God, it's just going to become more chaos. But the people that can function in heavenly wisdom will begin to bring peace amongst the chaos. That's our job. That's what we get to do. Turn to your neighbor and say, did you know that? That's what we get to do. We get to bring peace where there's chaos, life where there's death. That's what revival is. Revival is anything that comes to life. So the prophetic words are calling us to have a revival of unity. I think what that basically means is what God planned upon the earth, what Jesus did, and when he was saying in John 17, may you all become one, they're prophesying into that. That means we need a heavenly wisdom in a kingdom culture, in a kingdom place to be able to function and walk that out. You still following me? Okay. Verse 16 again, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and everything are there. But the wisdom that is from above, this is what we're looking for, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, with good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So Father God, we need you to teach us to seek heavenly wisdom. When we think in the natural, we're always going to function out of the natural. And now, again, there are natural things that we need to understand. I need to get by people that are smarter than me in finances. That's a great thing to do. Amen? Yeah. See, I was going to lock myself into debt for the next 7 years. I totally could have paid it. It wouldn't have been a problem. But then I realized in 7 years, when one of my daughters is walking down the aisle, I'm going to still be paying off the SUV that's too big for my family now because they're all out of the house. But I could have done it. The wisdom says, that's just a season. Why don't you get something in between? But I don't want a van. Well, I'm going to let my flesh die, and I'm going to drive a van. It's a nice van. Amen? Okay, let's turn. You guys know the scripture verse? It says then, if Colossians 3, verse 1. I'm going to give you a bunch of scriptures. I'd encourage you just to write them down. If then you were raised with Christ, it says, seek those things which are above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Colossians 3, verse 1. We know that scripture literally means that we are seated in heavenly places. We have access to heavenly things. So God wants us to begin to think more heavenly than earthly. Very quiet today. We need to think more heavenly than earthly. Okay, I'm going to give you some scripture verses that I'd like you to turn to, all right? Let's go to Proverbs. Or you can write them down. I'm going to say them out. Proverbs 3, verse 13. Proverbs 3, verse 13 says this. It says, how blessed. Another version says, how happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Anybody want to be blessed and happy? How happy and blessed is the man who finds wisdom and who gains understanding. Proverbs 4, I'm going to read 5 to 9. You can turn to it. This is New King James Version. The last one I just read was actually North American Standard. Proverbs 4, 5 to 9 says, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor. When you embrace her, she will place on your head an ornament of grace and a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Man, who wouldn't want that when you read it? Anybody like, nah, that doesn't sound too good to me. Does sound essential. Church, could it be that as a church, we could go after something so heavenly that people look on and go, whatever that is, I want it. I think one of the things that we have not done well as the body of Christ that we need to grow in is creating atmospheres that people go, whatever they do, I want to be a part of because I don't get it. There are people that carry such heavenly wisdom that they want those people in the room when they make meetings, and they're not even a part of their organization. They just have wisdom. They carry the Spirit of God, and they're like, man, they just carry something. I need them in the room. What if a whole body became like that? And what if we became so attuned to the Spirit of God? And by the way, a lot of times I think this, we just think it's good, it's osmosis, it's going to happen. But did you hear what I just read there? It said get, go after, seek. There is no place that I've found that says there's not a role that we take in going after it. Now, in a second, I want to show you something because there is somebody, and I've already told you, who became wisdom for us. Who became wisdom for us? Jesus. Okay, I'm going to read it. You don't have to turn there. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So you could say, but we already have him inside of us. But what does it say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What does it say? Diligently seek after him. He is a rewarder of those who seek him. So there's a part that we have to play. I've gone through Ephesians. We've talked about it, where he says, Paul says, I pray for you that the spirit of wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of him, that your eyes would be enlightened, that you would understand the hope of his calling. Like he says, I'm praying this for you. You're going to go after it. You're going to begin to seek it. Because the only way we're going to ever function in it on a consistent basis, if we have to go after heavenly wisdom. Which means if we're really going to do it, every time literally we open our mouth, every time we do a tweet, every time we write, we do an Instagram story, we have to stop and go, Lord, I need heavenly wisdom, especially if we are trying to speak into a situation. Because what's happening right now is people are using earthly knowledge to combat an earthly problem, and it won't work. We need heavenly wisdom to combat earthly problems. We need something higher. So I am going after it, going, Lord, I'm going after this. Now, I have good news for you. I'll tell you how easy it is. Two Sundays ago when I preached this message, I went home and promptly had a big argument with my son. And I'll tell you, I use such earthly, horrible wisdom. I would love to say that when I got home after preaching this message, that I had such heavenly wisdom and I dealt with it with such grace. It was probably one of the worst fights we've had. And I had to apologize to my son because I might have been right, but how I went about it was completely wrong. And I went for a walk and I realized I was so angry because I realized how bad I blew it and I had just preached about it. Anybody else ever had that moment? Somebody help me here. A couple people. It's like you say it and you know it and then you function. But I realized in that moment, God was simply saying, yes, there is a better way, but you need to seek after it. Because it's not natural. It's not a normal response, but you have to go after it until it becomes a normal response. It's going to take for us to go after it. Because if we're really going to have unity with people we don't necessarily agree with, we have to go after this. You know, I've joked around about it, but I joke trying to just bring light to it. But the fact is, I know there are people that are like, they call them anti-maskers. Like really, really, really strong about how we shouldn't wear a mask. And then over here, you have people that are like, I don't want to go anywhere without a mask. Now, initially, I wanted to prove everybody wrong. But that's wrong. Because what... there are some people that are very justice-oriented, and the more, and Pastor Rod, you point that out well often when we have conversations, there are some people that are going after things, and I have to learn to go, I may not agree with you, I could even fight you on it, but why? Because all I'm going to try to do is get everybody in my camp that believes the way I believe, and then we can have the Antioch anti-mask church. Or Antioch Mass Church, right? We begin to gather around the people that agree with us. Oh, you agree with me? Come on, come on. If I can get more people to agree with me, then they'll look bad. And I'd love to say that this doesn't happen in the church realm, but it does. We gather people to try to prove our point instead of learning, going, you know what? And this is what we need to learn to do. This is it. We need to ask ourselves, is this a kingdom issue? Because if it's not, I'm not going to fight about it. Okay, so in my mind, masks are not a kingdom issue. Now, they could be a civil liberty issue and people are going after that. That's just not my battle. I'm not going after that right now. I'm church. But racism, is that a kingdom issue? Absolutely. That is something we have as the body of Christ, no choice but to go after to defeat it. Because anytime somebody is treated outside of the way they should be, we should go after it. It's a kingdom issue. And there's a lot of complications around that, but it doesn't mean we shouldn't go after it. So I'm not going to go, well, that's not my issue. No, that is a kingdom issue because people need to be treated with respect and honor. Because we're going to have people come through our doors, and if we don't learn to do this well, they will not feel like they can be here. But we want people to be able to come in and go, man, I know I'm not like them, but I didn't feel judged. I didn't feel ridiculed. I felt embraced and pulled into it. And look at my life is beginning to change. I can't believe it. What is this? That's the presence of God. Let's tell you about it. And then they begin to crave it. Amen. I want to read something. We just said that Jesus became wisdom for us. Turn Proverbs. I believe I got to find it in my... You ever have your Bible marked up that you can only find it when you see it? Wisdom. Proverbs 3. Let's go there for a second. We already spoke into it. You know what I love? That in all of the Old Testament, there are things that are hidden to foreshadow Jesus. I love it. Even talking about wisdom, there's parts where it's like, I'm going to throw this out and see if they get it. Wisdom 3:13, we were already talking about it, wisdom. Proverbs 3:13 says, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand, riches and honor. Like just that alone. Is that not worth pursuing heavenly wisdom when you know that in the right hand is longer life and in the left hand are riches and honor? Now, understanding kingdom culture and our new creation identity, we now understand that any type of favor and prosperity is meant to also help pursue and bless others. That's got to be like an established line. Because if we don't, then we get into earthly wisdom and we start collecting riches for ourselves, and that will always trip us up. But when we understand God gives us riches to also bring favor and blessing to others, it's funny that he'll just keep doing it. It's like the person that does it, he's like trying to get more. And the person just does more with it and he just gives more, right? Keep reading here. For her ways are ways, this is wisdom. Wisdom's ways are ways of pleasantness. And all her paths are peace. I love this line. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Who's the tree of life? Jesus. Who became wisdom for us? Jesus. So in Ephesians, it says, so how do we go after this? In Ephesians, it says, I'm going to turn there. You can if you want. I read it so often, but I like to just read it. Ephesians 1. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in what? The knowledge of him. You shot that out the other day. I'm like, you're going too far, Faye. Don't burst the bubble. I'm getting there. Why do we pursue Jesus? Because I love how Bill Johnson says that Jesus is perfect theology. If you can't see Jesus walking it out, then it's probably not a kingdom culture. It's most likely a church culture. Did you know that we have church cultures? Come on, we totally have church culture at Antioch. You know, sometimes it's hard because we can't worship at the front right now. You know, if we're not careful, we begin to think that other people that don't worship at the front are not as holy as us because we really receive Jesus at the front. That is a church culture. We just love unity. We love being close to each other when we worship. But how many know and how many have found that you can worship at your chair? Now, if I choose, I'd like to all be back together again because I really like that. It feels like we're here and you're way over there. I like it when we're close. But we have to understand that's church culture, okay? So this is saying that he wants to give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. We just found out in Proverbs that it says wisdom is like the tree of life. We found out in Corinthians that it says he became wisdom for us. So the more we pursue Jesus and begin to seek him and ask him for wisdom, and we seek him in it, and we look throughout the word of God and go, Jesus, how do you function? We should naturally begin to have more wisdom. That's right. So right now, when you're in a situation, like Jesus walked it out, he comes across a woman that's caught in adultery, and they're all like, let's see how, you know, how do you stay who you are and yet deal with this situation? And everybody, you know, after he was done, she gets to go off, and everybody's scratching their head like, how did that even happen? Why? Heavenly wisdom. But what we get to do now is look at that situation and go, Lord, teach me in that situation how it looks over here. Because that's kingdom culture that he functions in. It's heaven to earth, right? And we want to function heaven to earth. And a lot of what is happening right now is simply earth to earth. It's not heaven to earth. And as Christians, we could actually throw fuel on fires instead of bringing them down. And say, Lord, teach us in these volatile moments how to operate like you did with heavenly wisdom. Amen? I'm going to throw out a bunch of scriptures because I want to close. Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Did you get that? What did Paul pray? The spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you would pray the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And how many years earlier in Proverbs it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So when we begin to seek him and how he functions, our eyes will be enlightened to what that realm looks like. Amen. Just look at all these. 1 Kings 4:29, and God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding. The way I like to look at it, Pastor Jeff, when he came in, had the heavenly wisdom to know what was going on, in the sense that he got a word, felt like this was God, and you need to do something with it. That was heavenly wisdom. I needed heavenly understanding to know what to do with it. Right? So the person that gave me wisdom about the van gave me wisdom to think differently. I had to pursue understanding of what that's going to look like. Okay, he just challenged me. Should I buy a van? Blah, blah, blah. Then the understanding I pursued ended up giving me a good price to vehicle. So we have wisdom that we have to go after and understanding to know how to use it. Oh, so many scripture verses. I don't have time. Look at this. This describes Jesus. Isaiah 11:2. The spirit of the Lord rests upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding. The spirit of counsel and might. The spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So awesome. Proverbs 2 verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Who gives wisdom? The Lord. Who's inside of us? The Lord. Who do we serve? The Lord. The more we get to the point where we realize, God, you've asked for your kingdom to come. That means you're the king. You're on the throne. We want to be good citizens and live under your rule. Teach us how to live in this. I personally don't think today is any different, honestly, than the day in the garden. It says chaos surrounded them. And he put them in the garden. He said, I'm going to fill you, and I want you to go take dominion. And that's what Adam and Eve did. It's the same thing. I don't have time to go there, but if you want, maybe I'll preach on another day. Read Daniel. And what does it say about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? That they were more wise and had greater understanding than anybody in the land. If you ever really want to get a grip of what it could be like, when you study Daniel, you realize this is a man in a place of wickedness. This is Babylon. The wicked of the wicked. He's doing courses with witches and sorcerers, and like they have to do courses with them. And in our minds, we're like, how do you even do that? And yet they somehow managed to stay above it, and not only stay above it, continually use heavenly wisdom, which confounded the king. Well, what do we need to do today? That. We need to do that today. Amen. Why don't you stand? The more you study it, at least I'm going to say it for me, the more I realize, Lord, help me not to function so earthly. And sometimes, you know, those are hard words, demonic, earthly, and fleshly. But the reality is sometimes our flesh gets hurt. There we function out of that because our flesh is wounded. It's like, Lord, help us to not be so fleshy. Because when we're, you know, we use terms like, oh, they're insecure. They're functioning out of their insecurities. That's all the same. I don't want to function out of that because then we will make decisions that are so poor because we're functioning out of our flesh. What does it look like? In James, it talks about lying or boasting against the truth. You know, if Joy was a really weak individual, she would have, you know, used words like 25-pound fish, you know, blowing this thing out of proportion. No, I was joking. It is a 25-pound fish. And if you know Joy, how many know that you could believe what she just said? Raise your hand. Why? Because Joy is honest. You know, I was just having fun with Dallin, but Dallin was honest too, going, yeah, it was my mom. Grandma. But insecurities, you know what they'll make us do? It was a 30-pound fish. And with our next set of friends, it was a 35-pound fish. Just keeps getting bigger. You know, it's the fish that everybody's caught at the lake, but nobody's ever seen. Right? It's true. Everybody's caught this big fish. Nobody's ever seen anybody ever catch it, but everybody's caught it because we boast. But we're not like that. How many are excited to know that these two prophetic words, almost identical, 2 years apart, speak about the beautiful unity that we can have? Anybody else excited about that? So let's pursue it and let's go. Every time we have a disagreement, we're going to have to learn to go, okay, we're not functioning out of, by the way, disagreements will happen. Let's just be real. When you come in and meet, if that were not true, if you came in unity, nobody would ever fight. Do you know that you read the New Testament, you see Paul disagreeing with Peter, you know, he's throwing out people. It doesn't mean that we'll do everything perfect, but it means that we go after something that looks perfect and just keep going after it and going after it. Amen? I see faces staring at me. It's fun to preach when you're like, what are they thinking? So, Father God, we say help. Lord, we say help. Lord, we are excited of the words that you have spoken over us, that you see us functioning in such a unity that would actually be a revival of family and unity. That is exciting. Lord, we don't even know what that looks like, but Lord, we also know that we sometimes are pretty fleshly. So, Lord, we just ask that you would begin to fill us with a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, and that our understanding, our eyes of our understanding would begin to open, and we would begin to have words of wisdom and sayings that we could turn situations around. We could bring peace where there's chaos, and even in situations where we disagree, we're like, you know what? We love each other, so we're just going to step away for a second and pray and come back and talk. So, Lord, we just say, help, 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 in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.